welcome, friends, to the only radio broadcast committed to bringing you more truth packed into 1 hour than the mainstream media gives you all week long. You're listening to Follow the Money Weekly Radio on the web at www.ftmdaily.com. On this week's program, gold and silver soar to new highs while the U.S. dollar falls to a 2.5-year low. We'll bring you an update. And this week, rising food and gas prices will just not give U.S. consumers a break. It's all a part of our weekly market report, where we will recap the highlights of this week's market action in stocks, bonds, commodities, energy, and in precious metals. And precious metals advisor Tom Cloud will be here with his precious metals market update. And in segment two, I'll be joined in a special interview by certified financial planner and author Jay Peroni. Jay is a friend of the show and is a part of our Christian Financial Advisor Network. He'll be here to discuss what he sees ahead for the U.S. stock market, and we'll also discuss his book, The Faith-Based Millionaire. And in our final segment, I'll have a brief commentary on foreign currencies, and we'll be joined by retirement specialist John Burrs with his financial strategy. This week, John will complete his two-part series with more tips on how to speak with your elderly parents about their finances. Friends, we have a very big program this morning, so get ready. You're listening to Follow the Money Weekly. The best hour in radio begins right now. Friends, welcome to this week's edition of Follow the Money Weekly Radio. For those of you who are new to our program, I urge you to check us out online. Our website is ftmdaily.com. There you will find a wide variety of free articles and commentaries, webinars, and archive radio programs, all designed to educate, enlighten, and empower you, the individual, on the topic of economics, financial trends, investing ideas, and much more. It's great to have each of you this morning, and now it's time for our weekly market report. Well, we begin in the stock market, where stocks had a roller coaster week. On Monday, stocks dropped sharply on news that the Standard & Poor's rating agency had revised its outlook for the nation's long-term debt. The rating agency revised its outlook for U.S. debt to negative from stable because of the inability of lawmakers to tackle the nation's rising deficit. At this point, many investors are keeping a wary eye on the big debt battle being waged between Senator Paul Ryan, who has proposed dealing with America's fiscal crisis through deep cuts in government spending, and of course, President Obama's plan, which calls for more tax hikes and more government spending on the nation's infrastructure. So we expect more volatility in the days ahead as the uncertainty over which plan will emerge continues. And while the markets had a tough time on Monday, they certainly perked up throughout the week as encouraging news on corporate earnings helped the markets in the week in positive territory. For the 137 companies that have reported so far this year on their earnings, 75% have delivered results ahead of analyst estimates. And now over to the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which ended Thursday's trading session up over 50 points to close the week at 12,505 points. For the week, the Dow added 164 points, which translated into just about 1.3% in gains. It was the highest closing price on the Dow since June 5th of 2008. So far for the month in April, the Blue Chip Index is up about 1.5%. The best performer on the Dow this week was United Technologies, ticker symbol UTX, which rose more than 4.5%. Verizon, ticker symbol VZ, was the worst performer on the Dow, falling nearly 2.5%. The S&P 500 closed the trading session on Thursday at 1,337. For the week, the S&P 500 index rose about 1.3%. The best performing stock on the S&P this week was Apple, ticker symbol AAPL, which rose more than 7%. Meanwhile, the worst performing stock on the broad market index was Wells Fargo. Shares of that financial institution fell just over 4.5% on the week. And the NASDAQ Composite Index added over 17 points on Thursday, closing the week at 2,820. That was the highest close for the NASDAQ since February 18th of this year. For the week, the NASDAQ gained about 2%. All told for the year, the Dow is up about 8%, the S&P 500 is up 6.34%, and the NASDAQ is up 6.31%. And for those of you who subscribe to our FTM quarterly newsletter, you should know that our FTM investment portfolio is up 9.53% for the year as of the end of this week. Of course, our stated goal with the FTM investment portfolio is to beat the S&P 500, which we are doing quite easily so far this year. The FTM investment portfolio, which is our own portfolio available only to our newsletter subscribers, is currently composed of 12 individual stocks and 7 ETFs. In fact, our latest addition to the portfolio, which our newsletter subscribers were recently alerted to, is up 4.23% since I added it to the portfolio on Monday of this week. So in 5 days, actually 4 days, we saw a rise of 4%. If you're interested in learning how we invest, you can become a subscriber to our FTM quarterly newsletter. You can learn more at our website at ftmdaily.com. And now over to the bond market. Yields on the 10-year Treasury note close at about 3.4%. The 10-year yield is widely used by lenders to set borrowing rates for mortgages, corporate debt, and other loans. 30-year Treasury bond yields ended the week at 4.46%, and the 3-month T-bill yield came in at 0.05%. Interest rates on 3-month T-bills are considered the risk-free rate. Many investors have had their eyes on the U.S. Treasury market lately, especially after the Standard & Poor's rating agency recently revised their outlook on the long-term U.S. debt. Those same investors will be watching Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke make an appearance before the nation next week. The news conference, scheduled for Wednesday, April 27th, will be the first news conference of its kind in the Federal Reserve's history. The conference will begin at 2:15 p.m. Eastern Time, as the quarterly forecast from the FOMC is issued. Mr. Bernanke will be making an opening statement, which will be followed by questions for about the next 45 minutes. All of this is part of the Federal Reserve's transparency move. We'll be watching. And now over to the world of commodities and energy. It's often been said that there's really no inflation in America unless you happen to eat food or drive a vehicle. That is certainly true this month, as a nasty combination of rising gasoline prices and the steepest increase in the cost of food in a generation is threatening to push the U.S. economy back into a recession. U.S. gas prices are averaging about $3.90 a gallon across the nation this weekend. With the recent and dramatic rise in global oil prices, many analysts are now warning that energy costs have reached a tipping point for consumers, as they now make up more than 6% of U.S. consumer spending. Of the 6 U.S. recessions since 1970, all but one have been linked to energy prices crossing the 6% mark of personal consumption expenditures. And food prices are not offering consumers any relief either. This year, food prices have climbed 6.5% since the beginning of early January. Together, food and energy prices are eating up about 15% of consumer spending at today's prices, which is much higher than the 12.7% about this same time 2 years ago. And after a volatile week of trading, U.S. crude oil futures for June delivery ended higher on Thursday, settling at $112.29 per barrel. For the week, U.S. crude futures posted a 2.4% gain. Brent crude for June delivery also rose in trading on Thursday to close at $123.99 per barrel on the ICE Futures Exchange in London. And natural gas for June delivery finished off a nice week on Thursday at $4.41 per million British thermal units. Threats to oil supplies in Africa and the Middle East, the election turmoil in Nigeria, and unrest in Yemen continue to make energy investors nervous, also putting pressure on oil prices, a declining dollar. This week, the dollar hovered near a 3-year low against a basket of currencies, and many expect the dollar to test an all-time low in trading next week. And now, even some analysts are talking about how the euro, yes, the euro, could eventually replace the dollar as the global reserve currency. Friends, it wasn't too long ago that the whole world was talking about how the euro was going to collapse, and we told you right here on this program that the globalist agenda has way too much invested in the euro. This is not to say that the European currency, the eurozone, won't change and transform and morph, but I will tell you that the globalist agenda does include Europe to a tremendous tune. There is a tremendous amount of people who have a lot invested in this European experiment. And the European currency, this euro, is the first type of regional currency that these globalists are wanting to foist upon this globe. And so the euro currency is a prototype of the coming global currency. It is vital that it survive, and they will do anything to protect it. However, the United States and the financial markets have a lot invested in, of course, their dollar. And with the euro and the dollar in a major arm wrestling match right now, any bad news about either one is going to be tremendously highlighted by the other. And that's what we've seen for the last several months here in the United States about the euro. And finally, in the world of precious metals, this week gold prices hit another new all-time high, while silver made a new 31-year high. On Friday, the spot price for gold settled at $1,507 after rising to $1,509 earlier in the trading session. The price for gold gained about 4% on the week. And the spot price for silver settled at $46.67 per ounce on Friday. The metal gained about 7.5% on the week. So far in 2011, gold has risen 6%, while silver has risen a staggering 51%. Palladium prices closed the trading session on Friday at $765 per ounce. Standing by on the phone to help bring this week's news on precious metals into focus for us is veteran precious metals advisor Tom Cloud. It's time for this week's Precious Metals Market Update.
Well, Jerry, it's been quite a week. Usually during tax week, we always feel the dollar's going to strengthen and we're going to get a pullback in the metals. But for the first time in 11 years, the U.S. dollar plummeted during the week of tax week and has broken below 74. And we saw silver go up 7.5% for the week and gold about 4%. For the week. And what it's really telling us is we're so close to a dollar crisis. Once it gets to 72, yesterday it hit a 2.5-year low, and once it gets back to 72 on the world index, people are expecting the support to completely break down and gold and silver both to skyrocket. What's interesting is we've talked about many times over the last 11 years, the dollar's gone down 36%, and if you divide that into the 500% that gold's gone up, six times less, you know, what you originally had, then we're talking about 13% that gold goes up for every 1% the dollar goes down, and we're talking about a period now we could enter soon when the dollar breaks support and goes all the way to 63 or 64, and we can see gold at 2,400 in literally this year. So it's a very scary proposition. We saw the University of Texas Foundation buy $1 billion of physical gold and take delivery, and we're now starting to hear there's going to be other endowments to follow, and many people are calling this the tipping point where the institutional customers and major money managers will move into gold and silver. Next week will be a very, very interesting week on that. So whether we do finally get a correction or not, if they interfere in the currency markets and try to strengthen the dollar, it looks like we're going to have some very, very high gold and silver prices this year. Silver had a week that really was amazing because we kept waiting on it to break, but the dollar wouldn't go down, and really just the physical demand has overwhelmed the market, and I don't know if it's going to drop next week or not, but we've had a lot of calls about Jim Rogers talking about the parabolic rise, and I would agree if silver hits $100 this year, it probably will have a 20 to 35% pullback, but then you'd still be at $65 or $70, and then we think it would resume its upward trend. But I really don't think it's in a parabolic rise yet. I think it'll slow down its growth a little bit and still have a very large move this fall. So I still don't think we're in a parabolic move in silver, but people waiting for a pullback to get in silver really are making a mistake, because it's all about accumulating ounces and getting it while you can. And last night in the webinar I did with Jerry that's posted on FTM Daily, you can get a lot more of this information in depth for the ones of you that couldn't listen. And then palladium has started its move a little earlier than expected. It's moved now from 700 back up to the 760s, and we know it's still poised to go well above 900 later in the year, but I feel very comfortable buying palladium right now as a diversification with your other metals. So next week, watch the dollar. Look at it. If you, any of the websites that have it, you can go right down and see the dollar value. And the closer it gets to 72, the more you can expect gold and silver to head up. And once again, if there is a correction, don't look at it. If you're already owning gold and silver, look at it really as an opportunity. Because I've said many times, silver went down over 10% three times last year and still went up 83% for the year. So don't look at the dips as being scared that silver's now going to go way down, but look at it as dips that it's time to buy more because it's going back up right away. So hopefully this will be a lot of help. And then last night with the webinar we did, and then as always, anyone that is not on my email blast, you know, if you'll just go to FTM Daily and click on the precious metals button, you can sign up for my free email blast to keep you updated on market trends, conditions, and also special deals I find on gold and silver. With this week's precious metals market update, this is Tom Cloud signing out.
Well, Tom Cloud is a precious metals advisor. He's been in the business for 34 years, helping clients all over the country. If you'd like to talk to Tom about your precious metals, perhaps you want to buy precious metals or maybe sell what you already have, you can call him at 800-247-2812. That's 800-247-2812. When you do, simply tell him that you heard about him on Follow the Money Weekly Radio, and he'll throw in free shipping and insurance on any order that you place. 800-247-2812. And by the way, if you haven't had a chance to go onto our website, ftmdaily.com, and listen or watch the webinar that we did this week, I really encourage you to do so. On Thursday evening, we put together a webinar series, and it was all about fundamentals of precious metals investing. I tell you what, it was a great, great time. It's available now for free on our website. You can go there and find it on our front page, Precious Metals Investing Webinar. All right, well, when we return, I'll be joined in a special interview by certified financial planner and author Jay Peroni. You're listening to Follow the Money Weekly. The best hour in radio returns in 2 minutes. Hey friends, this is Jerry Robinson from Follow the Money Weekly. Recently, we have been receiving many emails from our listeners commenting on the great help they're getting from our precious metals expert, Tom Cloud. Gold and silver are excellent hedges against the growing threat of coming U.S. inflation. Who's your gold guy? Make it Tom Cloud. With over 30 years' experience with precious metals, Tom will answer all of your questions. Don't buy your gold and silver through some call center and pay inflated prices. Call my good friend Tom Cloud and speak directly with him and get all of your questions answered. For a limited time, Tom is offering free shipping and insurance on every gold and silver purchase made by our listeners. Call 800-247-2812. And when you do, tell him that Jerry Robinson from Follow the Money Weekly sent you, and he'll throw in that free shipping and insurance on your entire order. Call your gold guy, Tom Cloud, right now for the very best deals on gold and silver coins. 800-247-2812. That is 800-247-2812.
right, joining me on the line today is a certified financial planner and the author of the book Faith-Based Investor and the Faith-Based Millionaire. His name is Jay Peroni. Jay, great to have you back on the program, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Jerry. I really appreciate talking with your audience.
Yeah, it's good to have you back on. We had you back on in October, and I tell you what, a lot of things have changed over the last over the last several months. I mean, back in October, when you were on, of course, there was quite a bit of anticipation that the Fed was going to unleash the floodgates and begin QE2, and sure enough, we entered into November, and that's what happened. The $600 billion bond buying program began, and here we are now, Jay, several months later, and the stock market has just risen dramatically. You know, many people are starting to scratch their heads and wonder, you know, whether this is real or not. You're a CFP. You're out there working with stocks each and every day. You're helping investors. What is your take on what's happening in the stock market right now? Is this real, what we're seeing, or do you expect to see a nice pullback? What's your prediction on QE3? I just threw a bunch of questions at you. Tell me what you're thinking about the market, QE2 and QE3.
Yeah, I've been doing this for 16 years now, and you know, just studying the markets a lot over the past couple decades, and just in my analysis here of what the Fed has done is just artificially inflated commodity prices, stock prices, just about everything. Whenever you have artificial intervention into the markets, you're taking really the capitalism out of the markets, and that's what we've really seen here with what the Fed's been doing with their intervention by pumping money into the economy. It's artificially inflating asset prices, and whenever you put the economy on steroids, that's essentially what's happened here. You're going to see massive increases, and that is exactly what's happened here. What's going to happen next is you know, really, I believe, a major correction, because you either have to come off of it slowly, which, you know, is going to be a problem, and then if you come off quickly, it's even more dangerous a problem. So we're stuck between a rock and a hard place right now with what's going on with the Fed's activity.
Okay, your book is called The Faith-Based Millionaire. I'm holding it in my hand right now. Question on this, because, you know, there seems to be some sort of hang-up with people when it comes to money and faith, you know, and I think we have a lot of televangelists to thank for that who've gotten on TV and really kind of given a bad name to what you're talking about in this book. But is it biblical for someone, because you do state in your book here that, and this is a quote, if you're not truly committed to creating wealth, the odds are stacked against you. Now, that's a very true statement. But let me just ask this question. Is it biblical for a Christian to be committed to creating wealth?
It is, but you have to have the proper attitude. And that's what I talk a lot about in my materials and what I write, is that you have to not be in love with money. You have to be created to building wealth with a purpose, because I believe God calls each and every one of us to multiply all that he has provided in our hands. You look at the parable of the talents, and really that we're called to multiply that money that God is putting into our hands. But we can't fall in love with money, and that's the danger with some people in money, is they get greedy and they just care all about money and not about people. Instead, at Faith-Based Investor, we try to teach people that we care more about people, and we're using our wealth to bless our families as well as the world around us.
That seems like it's a delicate and very fine balance, and you're pointing that out. I think many people can get fooled or deceived as they're chasing after wealth. It almost creates this idea, and both you and I are in the same, you know, same area here. We're both faith-based guys who are talking about, you know, creating financial freedom for them, you know, for people and their families. I guess what I'm driving at is where does that line begin and where does it end? For the person who's listening to this who is a believer and they're saying, you know, I've always heard all my life that that trying to create wealth or trying to start my own business or trying to make money in the markets, that's for people who don't have faith. I'm just going to trust in God. Where does the line start and where does it end, Jay?
Yeah, again, it comes right back down to your attitude and your perspective. I mean, you can sit there and say that money isn't important, but the fact of the matter is, while we're here on Earth, money is the currency of the world, and it's what helps to build churches, to print Bibles, to send people on missions trips. And if the body of Christ as a whole was in a better financial condition, just think of the light that we could be to this world. I mean, if we ourselves are trapped to our eyeballs in debt and we're having trouble making ends meet with our family, yes, we can depend on God, and God certainly will provide for our needs, but we really cannot be a blessing to others with our finances because we ourselves need some help. So by repositioning and doing things in a biblical fashion, keeping money, you know, without falling in love with it, but using it for a greater purpose, think of the big difference that we can make in this world.
Yeah, that's very true. And, you know, and many people right now are kind of struggling. It's amazing how many people right now are looking for financial answers because they see what's happening at the federal level. They see what's happening at Wall Street. They see that the whole entire system is breaking down. And so many of them are turning to hard assets. They're turning to gold. They're turning to silver. They're turning to commodities. They're seeing a lot of these asset classes, however, beginning to mushroom. Not that these things are actually in a bubble yet, but nevertheless, many people are starting to scratch their heads and say, where is the next safe place? In your estimation, are gold, silver, commodities, are these areas safe for some time?
I do believe they are, because normally what you see, and we're starting to see a little bit of silver getting into that parabolic growth that, you know, I'm starting to get a little concerned there, but I think as long as things correct themselves in the near future, and we have a healthy rise, that some of these asset classes are not in bubble territory. I do believe that the dollar is losing and starting to begin to lose its reserve status, and that's why people are flocking to gold and silver, because these things have held up through time, and the dollar, I believe, in the next few years is going to collapse, that we're going to see a new currency backed by things like gold and silver, and people are already starting to lose faith in the dollar. So that's why we're seeing such a rapid rise in commodity prices. And I do believe that we'll continue to see that over the next 12 to 36 months.
Now, you have your own newsletter and you have your own portfolios. And of course, you actively manage these portfolios for individuals who want to partake in that. Talk to us about your newsletter. Talk to us about some of the areas that you see going forward that you think are going to be good areas to be in, just some asset classes and also just some industries in particular when it comes to stocks.
Yeah, we're getting very, very defensive just based on really three major concerns that we see coming down the pike. The first would be the U.S. debt situation and also other countries around the world with just the whole sovereign debt crisis. So we're looking at that. We're also looking at the declining dollar. And then third, we're looking at hyperinflation to set in. So with those three variables, we're becoming a lot more defensive in our portfolios. We're looking at gold and silver for a good portion of our portfolios, along with agriculture and energy commodities. We're also combining some high-quality dividend-paying companies into the mix. We're very bearish on the bond market right now. We're actually shorting treasuries. We're doing kind of what Bill Gross over at PIMCO has been doing. We've been doing that for a little while here and shorting treasuries, and we've been out of the bond market, so to speak, for quite some time. As far as sectors of the stock market, we're looking at defensive industries like energy, utilities, healthcare, and consumer staples. We're looking at companies that we believe will survive if we go into tough economic times again, and I do believe we will see continued tough economic times for the near foreseeable future.
Jay, you've got a great niche, and that's why I like you. That's why I wanted to have you on the program again, because Not only have we made you part of our Christian Financial Advisor Network, but you really fit into that very well, because your book and your philosophy and your website, you basically teach, and I want you to go into this a little bit, the fact that believers can invest in things that complement their faith. You can find sound investments that complement their faith. Sometimes when people hear things like that, they just don't quite understand what that means. What do you mean by finding investments that can complement someone's faith?
Yeah, we look at really two different angles. The first angle is we look at the moral side of investing and where are you investing? Does it line up with your faith and your values? And we do this through screening out companies that violate our Christian values. There are certain industries like the abortion industry, pornography, embryonic stem cell research, gambling, there's a number of issues that our investors have told us we want absolutely no part in these types of companies in these industries. So we screen out certain types of companies. We also screen into the portfolio companies that are doing a lot of good in society, companies that are coming up with life-saving cures for diseases. They're feeding the sick and the poor. They're providing solutions that are improving our society. So we screen out companies that violate our values, and we screen in companies that complement our faith and values. But that is just the beginning. We don't just look at the moral side of investing. You also have to pair that with good financial opportunities. You have to find companies that are profitable and producing profits. So we look for essentially companies that our clients can be proud to own.
You also talk in your book quite a bit about the need to, of course, pay God first, pay yourself second. Why don't you talk about some of the strategies that you use there when it comes to actually charitable giving and then, of course, autopilot savings?
Yes, we help a lot of our clients not only just to build wealth. It's great to build it, but we certainly want to help our clients share the wealth as well. We look at helping our clients establish things like donor-advised accounts, which can act like family foundations where they're putting a sum of money in there that can be used to fund kingdom activities. We also help clients establish life insurance trusts that they can leave for ministries and charities that they're really passionate about, as well as we look at some tax saving strategies that clients can utilize, things like highly appreciated stock, and if they own a privately held business, transferring some of those business interests to charities and ministries. So we really do believe not only in growing our clients' wealth, but helping them to look at some tax advantageous ways to maximize their savings and their giving.
You know, in the book on page 115, you list the 5 rules for wealth. And I want to go through these really quickly and just get you to elaborate on them for a minute. The first of the 5 rules for wealth is, number 1, live below your means. Talk to the people about that.
Yeah, that's something that really has come into light, and I wrote this prior to the financial collapse that we've seen over the last several years. And just the fact that if we look at the average consumer, that they're spending still more than they make. I mean, right now, you know, without the ability to have credit, it's really exposing a lot of shortcomings. If our government subscribed to this mentality, just think of what a better place America would be today, that if we actually spent less than we were making. I mean, it just seems like common sense, but a lot of people don't live by that. They no matter how much they're making, they end up going beyond their means. So the first rule of building wealth is you have to be saving money. And in order to save money, you've got to be spending less than you're making.
And then number 2 says allocate time, energy, and money efficiently to build wealth. What does that mean?
That means just educating, finding resources. If you don't have the time and energy to be dedicating towards building wealth, hire someone. I believe in strongly having a team of advisors around you. No matter how smart you are with investing, how smart you are with tax planning, I believe that there really are 3 or 4 professionals that every person should have in their life. The first would be a competent financial advisor or certified financial planner. The second would be a great tax advisor, someone that's helping them with tax minimization, someone that's good at being an attorney, doing some estate planning and protecting the assets that a person's building. And then lastly, someone that can help out with debt strategies. If they're in debt, getting out of debt, and if they're looking to borrow money, having a good person that can help them to use debt effectively. Most people don't use debt effectively. So that really is what I believe in, is allocating some time and energy to either yourself getting the education in each of these areas or building a team around you.
And I think that second part, Jay, is so vital. I mean, we interviewed a lot of people on this program, and a lot of them, you know, are out there, and you know, they're millionaires, billionaires. You know, I mean, we've had all of them on here, and I tell you what, in private talks with these guys, and also just knowing what I know, you don't see too many self-made millionaires who don't turn to people for advice. You know, and I tell you, you know, guys like you and me, I mean, even we have a team of advisors around us. I mean, I could not do what I do unless I had wise people to turn to. And so I can't imagine somebody out there who really wants to build wealth and who's going to say, well, I'm going to rough it and go on my own. That's certainly not how the truly successful people in this world have done it. And we can even turn to the Bible and find a biblical principle there when it says that there's safety in the multitude of counselors. You know, if you don't have a good tax advisor to turn to, if you don't have a good legal advisor, I mean, life can be very, very tough. Those who have succeeded certainly have those people to turn to. So very good point. Okay, number three, turn to God in times of need. What does that mean? I mean, you run to Him when you're broke and your bank account's completely zero, and then pray for more money?
No, I think it's putting God first in everything that you do, in both good and bad times. But a lot of people try to take everything on their own shoulders. It's amazing that we have our faith in God, yet when it comes to our money is this separate compartment, and that's what I see a lot of people do. They, you know, what's good over here is not good in my money situation. It's my money, and I'm going to handle it my way. Yet if we put God first in that money aspect, things just – it's amazing. It's not a guarantee, but things just happen to work out much better when God's a part of that plan as well as the plan for your overall life. It doesn't mean things are going to be easy, but it makes it much, much more, you know, comforting to know that God's there and that you have that peace of mind knowing that He's truly in control of not only your life, but your finances.
Okay, number four says question needs versus wants.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, they look at what they truly need, and they say, I need cable, I need a cell phone that can, you know, that can do many, many things, I need this 60-inch, you know, flat screen TV. We really get our priorities mixed up, and that's where we've got to look at the world. And if you ever go to something like globalrichlist.com and plug in your salary here as an American, and you compare that to what much of the world is making, most of the world doesn't have food, doesn't have running water. And we really don't look at things in that light. We say we're comparing our things to the neighbor next door. They've got a nicer car than we have. They've got a nicer house than we have. And we really get our priorities mixed up. So I really believe in trying to simplify our lives and trying to live well below our means and look at what we truly need. We need food. We need water. We need shelter over our heads. And we need, you know, food, you know, clothing on our backs. But other than that, what do we truly need? So really, looking at things from a different perspective is what we advocate over at Faith-Based Investor.
Number five, financial freedom is more important than high social status. Talk to us about that one.
Yeah, again, people trying to compete with the Joneses, trying to have a nicer car. It's very easy to go down that path, even as Christians. You know, I deserve to drive this BMW, or I deserve this Lexus, and everybody else has one, so I need one. You can get caught up in that social status perspective, and we find that many people who try to look rich aren't really rich. And those who truly are rich from a wealth perspective live far below their means, and they're driving, you know, 10-year-old cars, and they're living in nice neighborhoods, but they don't have the nicest house. So trying to live well below your means and not trying to just look rich, but actually be rich and making better financial decisions.
Good stuff, Jay. Well, if you can leave our audience with one wealth building tip, what would you tell them?
I would say save early and save often, to have a strategy in place and have a good team behind you, because I find that a lot of people aren't saving enough today. And I know times are tough and they're looking at opportunities to build wealth, but I think you have to be truly focused on trying to build something that's going to last, whether it's starting your own company or starting a savings program, investing in things that are going to appreciate over the next several years. So right now is a very critical time with what's going on in our government. It really is a very limited opportunity that I believe more millionaires are going to be built over the next several years than at any point in history. And that even includes the Great Depression and the crash. I think right now, those who are properly positioned can stand to make a lot of money over the next several years, but you have to start today. You wait a few years, you're going to miss the boat.
I can't agree with you more. It's always good to have you on, Jay. Those who are listening, they'd like to maybe get in touch with you, Jay, or learn more about what you're doing, your work. How can they do so?
They can either send me an email. I answer all my emails, so you can email me at Jay, that's J-A-Y, at jayperoni.com, that's J-A-Y-P-E-R-O-N-I.com, so Jay at jayperoni.com, or you can stop by our website, faithbasedinvestor.com. Check us out. Give us a call at 866-594-9919. Those are a few different ways that people can get in touch with us.
All right, my guest has been financial advisor, CFP, Jay Peroni, and the book is called The Faith-Based Millionaire. Where can they pick up the book, Jay? I guess I could pick it up on your website. Where else is it available?
Pick it up on our website, or you can get it at Amazon.com.
All right, Jay. Well, thanks for taking time to join me, my friend, on this this week's program.
My pleasure, Jerry. You have a blessed day.
She's got a whole lot of reason. She can't think of a single one that can justify leaving. He got none, but he thinks he got so many problems, and he got too much time to waste. His dreams are like commercials, but her dreams are picture perfect, and her dreams are so related, though they're often underestimated.
Hello, my name is John Burse, and I'm a retirement specialist with the Christian Financial Advisor Network. Each and every day, I help people just like you who are concerned about their financial future. My specialty is helping you turn your financial hopes and dreams into reality. But with a twist, I help my clients build a financial plan that is based upon solid biblical principles. That's why I'm so excited about the Christian Financial Advisor Network. CFAN, as I like to call it, is all about connecting people like you who have concerns about your finances with people like me who have been trained to help you create a solid financial plan. If you have been thinking about getting a second opinion on your current financial plan or need to create one for the first time, I urge you to go online to www.cfanetwork.org and fill out the brief online form. Once you do this, you will be put in touch with a trusted financial advisor in your area. It's simple, and best of all, it's free. So don't put it off any longer. You owe it to yourself and to your family to have your financial house in order. So to get started, log on to www.cfanetwork.org today.
Hi, friends, welcome back to the program. You are listening to Follow the Money Weekly Radio. I am your host, Jerry Robinson, economist and author of the book Bankruptcy of Our Nation. As always, here to lead you on an excursion to truth about money, about wealth, about possessions, and investing. Okay, I want to tell you a couple of things before we move into our final segment. We have John Burse up on deck with his financial strategy. Before we move into that, I want to bring your attention to foreign currencies for a minute. I spent some time writing about precious metals and foreign currency this week on FTMDaily.com. And as I mentioned last week, I've been moving into a different type of article series in our daily columns, focusing much more on teaching articles, because I'm really listening to you as you write in and as you tell me what it is you're really desiring to know. That's really helping us help you. So as you read these articles, if you are benefiting from them, we love to hear back from you so we know that we are hitting the mark. Our goal is to serve you and to help you in these very difficult economic times. That's why we put on all of these free services, our absolutely free referral service for Christian financial advisors, our free webinars that we do, financial education webinars once a month, our free weekly radio show, our free daily articles. Of course, we do charge for our quarterly newsletter, but you know, friends, you have to pay the bill somehow. And we feel it's a very good value because we do provide you with our investment portfolio. Always talk to a trusted financial advisor before making any moves. Foreign currencies. I want to tell you three ways to buy foreign currencies, because we do get a lot of questions here about how to buy foreign currencies. And the reason is because I have mentioned in the Diversified Savings Reserve, the 6 months liquidity that you're going to create, the DSL savings in level 3 on our 5 levels of financial freedom, we talk about the need to diversify not just your investments, not just your income, but also your savings. And when you diversify your savings, one of the tools that you can use is foreign currencies. So naturally, the question arises, how do I buy foreign currencies? And let me tell you three quick ways that you can do this. The very first way is that you can contact your local bank. I bank at a very large bank, and so they have a large foreign exchange department. You may bank at a smaller bank, or you may bank at one of the large big financial institutions. Either way, you can find a foreign exchange department somewhere in your city by contacting one of the large banks, and you can request foreign currency. Now, this is normally how people buy it when they're going to be going on a trip overseas. They'll simply contact their bank, pick up some currency. The last thing you want to do is buy it in the airport when you're traveling, because you will pay a very large markup for the convenience. So this is one way. If you want to hold the hard currency yourself, you simply go down to the bank and you order it. Typically, they'll either have it on hand or they'll order it for you and they'll get it to you. Then you can hold on to it in your home, which is not really advisable, or you can put it into a safety deposit box, you name it. When it comes to foreign currency, it really makes no sense to hold it yourself because it's just paper. You know, gold and silver are very different. You know, you don't want a paper version of gold and silver because obviously it's a hard asset. But currencies are just paper and they're backed up by virtually nothing, so it doesn't really matter if you hold it or if you don't. If you keep it somewhere, it's completely fine. Now, the second way to buy foreign currencies, and this one is rather unique, is through a bank called EverBank, and you can find them online at everbank.com. Now, I'm not associated with them and have no financial interest in them at all. However, I do know they have created some very exotic products in the fact that you're able to invest in certificates of deposit, CDs. But they're denominated in foreign currencies. And many of these CDs, you can actually get them denominated in a basket of foreign currencies with a particular emphasis, such on commodity-rich nations or energy-rich nations. So it's a very interesting play. And many times you'll need at least $10,000 all the way up to $25,000 to get one of these CDs opened. And while they are FDIC insured, your principal is not insured against a shift in foreign currencies. So if your currency goes down against the U.S. dollar, then you could stand to lose some money. So they are slightly risky in that respect, but you do get the FDIC protection on the principal in case the bank fails, which is worth its weight. And then finally, the third way, and the way that I prefer to do it, is to buy currency ETFs. You can do this by opening up an account, at an online discount brokerage, say Scottrade or E-Trade or one of, whoever you want to use, Ameritrade, and you can place the orders yourself. I've listed on our website in an article entitled Four Examples of Stable Foreign Currencies and Three Easy Ways to Buy Them, a list of a lot of different currency ETFs that you can buy. For example, if you wanted to gain access to the Australian dollar, which is up about 102%, over the last 10 years against the U.S. dollar, you would simply buy the ticker symbol FXA. Or if you wanted to buy the currency in the British pound, for example, which I necessarily wouldn't recommend right now, but you could. It's FXB, or the Canadian dollar, FXC, or the euro, FXE, and it goes on. And so you can take a look at the list we've compiled on our website here. Plus, you can do a lot more research on your own. But I found that buying currency ETFs is really the easiest and most cheap way to gain access to foreign currencies. And you know, foreign currencies are just like the dollar. They're paper currencies, I know. And I know that gold and silver are rising against all currencies. It doesn't matter which currency it is. But I want you to think about foreign currencies like a boat. And I've explained this before, and I think I've even explained it in this article series that we did this week. And I encourage you to go back and read that if you haven't. It'll really help you understand precious metals and foreign currencies and saving in particular using diversified methods. But think about foreign currencies like a boat, okay? At the very bottom of it, let's imagine we have five boats out on the water. Very simple, okay? They're all the same size. They're all same size rowboats, and they're out on the beach, okay? They're floating on the water. Now, we look at boat number one, okay? and it has a hole in the bottom of it. It's not a very big hole. It maybe is the size of a dime, and it's gushing water in. Okay, so we see the boat is sinking. Then we look at boat number two, and we look down, and we see there's a little itty-bitty pinhole in the bottom, and it's letting water in, but it's just not real fast, and so it hasn't filled up with water too much. And then we look at the next boat, and it's got a gaping, gashing hole in the bottom of it, and it's just sinking as quick as you can believe, okay? So enough said there on that point. Which boat would you prefer to be in? And obviously, you would say boat number two. I'd rather be in the boat with the smallest pinhole. You may say, I prefer not to be in any of them. But unfortunately, friends, we have to use currency in our modern day. We can't use gold and silver to buy bread at the store. Although, if you live in Utah, I guess you can. I don't know anybody who's going to be doing that. I say that because Utah just passed a new legal tender law allowing citizens to use gold and silver as currency in the state of Utah. Again, another move towards sound money that we've been predicting for some time, especially in our book, Bankruptcy of Our Nation. I called for the fact that we were going to see a move towards an honest money system in the coming years, and we're certainly seeing that right now as citizens are demanding it. But we haven't reached the fever pitch that we're going to. In fact, it's not anywhere near where it eventually will be, as people demand that we have an honest monetary system, as we used to have some time ago. So, this being said about the boats and the foreign currencies are simply boats on the water that have holes in them. They all have different size holes. Your goal is to find the currency with the smallest hole. Now, if you've listened to this radio program today, you know that the dollar does not have a small hole in the bottom of its boat. It has a gashing, deep gashing hole in the bottom of it because it is bleeding right now. And many, many analysts are concerned that the United States dollar is going to eventually lose its reserve status, its global reserve status. And I've told you before, been predicting this for years, this is what's going to happen. The dollar is going to collapse. Currencies like the yuan and the euro are waiting in the wings to take over. We will see a lot of currency manipulation, a lot of currency changes and regulations coming forward. We're going to see a lot of different things, many things we probably would never believe we would see in our lifetime, friends. It's coming, okay? But you don't need to be worried, okay? You don't need to be scared. You don't need to be concerned, okay? What you need to do is you need to prepare, all right? The time for debate is over, as my good friend John Rubino says. The time for debate is over. The time for preparation is now. The time for preparation is right now. Now, I am a believer and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a Christian. I believe in the Bible. I believe it to be true. I also believe that it has a lot to say about where we are heading as a nation and where we are heading as a globe. We are in deep, deep trouble. There is no doubt about it. Okay, friends? But what we need to do now is we need to prepare. We need to prepare our families, we need to prepare ourselves, and we need to prepare our communities. We need to prepare our neighborhoods. We need to take action at that level. We need to stop listening to the talking heads who are constantly playing the blame game. Friends, it does not matter who ruined this nation. Do you know who ruined this nation? Men. Do you know why men ruined this nation? Because they have sin in their hearts. Do you know why every other nation in the world has been destroyed? Because men have run it. Men cannot rule men. They cannot rule themselves. That's why we are in the predicament that we're in. So I encourage you, now is the time to prepare. Now is the time to make preparation. Okay, I'm not talking about buying canned foods and buying lots of guns and gold and running out into the hills. No, no, no. What I'm talking about is preparing your family, preparing your mind, preparing your finances, gearing yourself up for what's ahead. It does not get any better from here. Okay, we got to realize that. We have to realize that. The government is not going to be able to fix the mess that it's in. Sure, they'll be able to patch it. They'll put Band-Aids on it. They'll try their best. But every empire that's reached this state before goes the same direction. And that's okay. Because the Bible tells me that I'm not a citizen of this world. I'm here. I have to live on this earth. But in reality, I am a citizen of heaven. So it's vital that you do not lose heart, that you do not lose faith, and that you do not become overly concerned with what's happening. Is it sad what's happening in America? Sure. Is it difficult to see what's happening to our nation? Yes. But friends, I urge you to not waste time blaming other people. I urge you not to be worried about who did what and when, but instead to be asking, do I have my priorities straight? Do I have my finances in order? Am I preparing for what may be lying ahead? What am I doing each and every day to move myself toward preparation? What am I doing to prepare my family? What am I doing to protect my community? Those are the questions, and that's what we focus on. All right, well, standing in the wings is our good friend, John Burrs. He's up next, retirement specialist John Burrs this week. John is here with part two of his two-part series on a topic that can be a tough one, how to talk to your elderly parents about their finances. So here's John Burrs with this week's financial strategy.
Well, hi, Jerry. Again today, I would like to address some more questions that have been asked from the Follow the Money radio show listeners. Caring for elderly parents is always a time in life that is hard for people to come to grips with, so I hope these questions and answers will benefit you if you are in that situation. The first question, how do I talk to my elderly parents about their finances? Talking to your parents about money is always difficult, especially when the money you're talking about is theirs. They belong to a generation that was taught to keep their information private and not to share their concerns openly. Even if they need help, they may be unwilling to talk to you because it's none of your business, or because they're afraid to give up control over their own financial affairs. If they're reluctant to talk to you, make it clear that you respect their needs and concerns. However, don't be afraid to express your own needs and concerns as well. Their financial situation may impact you also, particularly if they become unable to support or care for themselves. At the very least, you should find out where they keep their personal records, discuss housing, healthcare, and budgeting issues, and find out what steps they have taken to plan their estate. What if they still refuse to talk to you? If they're capable of managing their affairs for now, you may want to drop the matter and reapproach them later. Or you may suggest that they talk to another family member, a trusted friend, or a professional advisor such as an attorney or financial planner. Another question that has been asked quite a bit is, my parents can't manage a loan anymore. What should I do? This is an increasingly common scenario. Perhaps one or both of your parents are having health problems, suffering mental lapses, or just slowing down with age. The problem may not go away or get better, but there are several ways you can deal with it. First, talk with your parents and any siblings you may have. Sometimes the best option is to have your parents move in with you. That way you avoid having to use your parents' assets or your own to pay for a nursing home or other facility. You won't have to worry about your parents receiving inadequate care from strangers, and your parents will probably appreciate the gesture of love and self-sacrifice on your part. However, the cost of feeding, clothing, and caring for your parents can be high, especially if you're forced to give up a job to be home with your parents, and don't underestimate the emotional and psychological impact. So what if your parents' care is more than you can handle? You may then wish to consider some type of assisted living arrangement. The broad term assisted living encompasses a range of facilities and services designed to help seniors who can't live independently. The assistance provided may be short or long term and may focus on social services, medical care, or some combination of the two. Depending on your parents' conditions and needs, one or more of the following assisted living arrangements may be worth considering, such as nursing homes, assisted living communities, continuing care retirement communities, Alzheimer's or dementia care specialty facilities, retirement communities, active senior communities, home health care, hospice care, adult care services. Ask a social worker, your parents' physicians, or other professionals for information about these assisted living arrangements. These individuals can also offer you support and recommend solutions that best meet your parents' needs. Again, if you have any questions concerning today's topic, or if you'd like to get a second opinion to your current retirement planning strategy, you can contact me by email at John, that's J-O-H-N, at cfanetwork.org. And when you write me, let me know how I can best contact you, and I would be more than happy to discuss your financial situation personally with you. I trust this financial insight has been helpful, and I look forward to the next time when I can help you provide the foundation for a lifetime of financial independence.
Well, John Burrs is a retirement specialist within the Christian Financial Advisor Network. That's on the web at www.cfanetwork.org. If you're looking for a Christian financial advisor in your state, we are working feverishly to get one in every single state right now. But you can simply go to www.cfanetwork.org, that's .org, and fill out the brief online form, and someone within your area, if we have someone there, will be in touch with you within 3 business days. Well, friends, that brings us to the end of our program. Thank you for choosing to allow me into your life each and every week. We are honored to serve you, and we feel privileged that you're a part of our life as well. And as always, I leave you with this final word from former presidential aide Theodore Sorensen, when he said, "Consistently wise decisions can only be made by those whose wisdom is constantly challenged." Just something to think about. Remember, friends, when you want the truth about the global economy, just follow the money. Have a safe and prosperous week, and I'll see you right back here next weekend. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed by the guests on Follow the Money Weekly do not necessarily represent the views of FTMDaily.com or Makers Group Financial, LLC. Even though these are proven strategies, Jerry Robinson is not a financial advisor and his guests are not legal or tax advisors. You should always consult a trained financial advisor and or tax advisor before making any financial decisions. John Burrs is a registered representative of and does offer securities through Sidecore Securities Incorporated. Lifetime Decisions Management Incorporated is not a subsidiary of nor controlled by Sidecore Securities Incorporated.
The more you see, the less you know. The less you find out as you go. I knew much more then than I do now.